Hello and welcome to the very final boat briefing podcast of the year. My name is Stuart Campbell, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting are Caroline White and Katia Damborski. Hi, guys.
Hi, Stu. How are you?
Bit slow today.
Yes, you are. This is like our third take of doing this intro.
It's extraordinary. You think that everybody was little bit worse for wear, but the champagne hasn't been popped yet. It will be, I'm sure, soon.
Very, very shortly. The reason our brains are running quite slow this morning or this afternoon as we record is because we had our Christmas party last night, and many drinks were had. Much fun was had.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, Caroline, sadly, couldn't make it, but Stuart was there, and I can confirm that he was first up on the dance floor.
Wow.
Yeah, with the mic in hand. So, Stuart, why don't you tell the listeners what your karaoke song was this year?
I'm always partial to a bit of Vanessa Carlton. It's such a good tune. Such a good karaoke song.
Do you know what? I think I might have missed that.
Yeah, it's the go-to. Can't resist it.
What's the song?
Is it 1,000 miles? So, 1,000 miles. Yeah.
Banging. Okay.
Is it what the kids say now?
A banger.
It's a banger.
It's a banger.
So I apologize to everyone for our stumbles and pauses throughout this podcast, because I'm sure there'll be one or two as we slowly recover. But it was great fun. It was great fun. And we do have some champagne, as Caroline mentioned, because we have the results. The results are in for our annual brokerage guessing game. So you might, long-time listeners of the podcast will know that each year we, at the start of each year, we take a punt on what we think the final brokerage number will be in terms of boats sold over the course of the year. And without blowing my own trumpet too much, this is the third year in a row that I'm going to come out victorious. In 2022, I predicted there would be 525 brokerage sales. The number ended up being 540. In 2023, I said there would be 404, and year to date there have been 385. So I reckon it's going to creep very close to that 404 number. And actually, Caroline, you didn't take part this year, did you, in the great brokerage?
No, I didn't. So I'm not actually wrong. I'm not wrong.
That's no, you're officially thing. Not wrong. Yeah.
Neither am I. Yeah. The only person that's wrong is Sophia,
and she's gone. So, yeah.
Yeah. So Sophia said at the start of the year there would be 460 brokerage sales in 2023. So it's not going to get anywhere near 460.
No, she was way out.
Way out. So in honor of my my hat trick, I'm just going to pop some very cheap sparkling wine I purchased from a nearby supermarket.
Right.
And we're going to toast.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
We'll toast 2023.
Thank you, Stuart. Thank you.
And wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas.
Caroline, have you got an equivalent drink?
I've got some cold tea.
Right.
It will have
cheers,
to.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to our listeners.
Cheers, Caroline.
Listeners.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Absolutely.
So why don't we do a bit of a look back on what we've really enjoyed in 2023, some highlights, and we can look ahead to what's coming up in 2024. So, Katia, why don't you go first?
Okay, so I was trying to pick something from the highlights from the year, and I was looking back and I realised I've actually done a lot of boat shows this year. Pretty much, not all of them, but definitely a fair few, because I do all the ones that, not that people don't want to do, but I love boat shows. It's my highlight of my job. So I did Dubai, Genoa, Venice. I think Venice is actually one of my favourite shows. I think I think you just can't beat the location, the format and the season. And obviously, we're going to be benefiting from some of that at the World Super Awards next year. So that's kind of my highlights of the year and my kind of to come highlights wrapped into one. But I actually don't have much going on next year. My diary is still pretty open, but that will probably change soon, especially in my new position as, wait for it, Wait for it. Digital editor.
Yay!
Thanks, everyone. I thought I'd get a whoop from Stuart, but I just got a kind of look, a kind of stare.
I did all my whooping last night.
Right.
So congratulations, Katya, on your promotion to digital editor.
Thank you. I feel like I'm I'm deserving of being in the podcast room now.
So that was definitely a big 2023 highlight for you, Katya.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that can be topped unless I go for your job next year.
She's not joking, everyone. She's got designs. No. She's got designs on the editor's chair.
Yeah.
All right, Caroline, what about you?
Well, as an unlikely to be repeated experience, I rather enjoyed when Stu and I accidentally joined the owner of the big new cat Art Explorer. The first time he looked around the finished yacht, that was at Monaco, and Stu made a plan to meet him at the boat to do a tour, but we hadn't actually realised that it would be his first look as well as our first look. We did offer to leave him to it, but he's a very nice man, and he just said to stay. So we have had a look around with him. Lots of slightly nervous looking yard people kind of shadowing us. But it was a beautiful boat and he seemed very happy. So it was that was an amazing experience. And next year, I'm looking forward to flying to Taiwan in March to visit Horizon Yachts, which will be interesting to get a look at the industry on the other side of the world.
Yeah, you'll see a lot over there. They're really producing a lot of boats, aren't they?
Yeah, Taiwan's absolutely humming. Some brilliant yards out there, obviously Ocean Alexander and Horizon and various others absolutely churning out boats. Huge following in the US and Australia and New Zealand as well, those yards.
Yeah. I think we'll take a look at that more in the Global Order Book a bit later.
We will. We will. So obviously 2023 was our big 40th anniversary. We had a few nice moments, didn't we? We produced a special anniversary issue. We had a big party in Monaco. We did a big photo shoot with the entire staff of the company, which was quite fun to organise and get everyone involved in. But a few other highlights from the year. Between the Bays, our Between the Bays event back in March was just sensational, working with Belmond and in partnership with FedShip and Anguilla Tourism and St. Martin Tourism. We had 9 super yachts take part, cruising between Anguilla and St. Martin. A few fantastic days of barbecues and beach cricket and lovely dinners and cocktails. It was just sensational. World Super Yacht Awards in Istanbul. That was amazing. Istanbul, what a town. I got to play golf in Bermuda with some super yacht captains. That was great. Mm. And then sample some amazing Macallan whiskey up at the Macallan Distillery in Speyside, Scotland. We took some of our owners' club members up there for a few days of sampling some of the best single malts around. So that couple of amazing, amazing highlights.
Yeah, I feel like your highlights put mine and Caroline's to shame slightly. Ours was, photos, doing my job, and yours was golfing and drinking whiskey. So if anyone wants to know why I want Stuart's job so much, this kind of summarises it.
Yeah, it's a long line of people waiting to push Stuart off the side of a boat.
And not only because they want my job. So looking ahead to 2024 is going to be great. So we had the most rammed events calendar this year. I think we pulled off 44 events in total, which is just extraordinary. Next year is going to be just as active. The Sambat's Bucket, that's always a huge highlight of mine. I love going to the bucket. So I'll be down there. We're going to play ice cricket in St. Moritz in partnership with Pendennis. That's happening in end of Jan, start of Feb. That'll be just incredible. And obviously, as Katya referenced, the World Super Yacht Awards are returning to Venice after a decade and a bit away from the city. So that's happening in early May. So World Super Yacht Awards in Venice at the Arsenale. What could be better than that?
Yeah. Last year was such a good event. I don't know how we're going to top ourselves, but I'm sure we will.
The events team have some amazing plans. It's going to be a really, really spectacular show. Judging for that will take place in February, so shortly after that we'll know all the finalists, so it'd be great to see as many of you there as possible. So we've talked about the brokerage figures, obviously, which I won again, third year in a row.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yep. I won't get bored of it either. But with the January issue each year, obviously many of you know we publish the Global Order Book, and it's also online, available to our Boat Pro subscribers now. But I thought it'd be fun just to walk through some of the, key numbers from the report. It's a really exhaustive study of superyachts in build around the world. So it's put together each year by Marilyn Moer and Raphael Montagnier, Mr. Data for the superyacht industry. And they study and scrutinize order books. They visit shipyards. They have sources all over the world feeding them information to build this all-encompassing snapshot of the superyacht industry, which we publish in our January issues. So we can reveal that there are currently 1,166 superyachts over 24 meters in length in build around the world, which is down 3.1% on the number we recorded in the last report. So that number was 1,203. So the order book has declined from its COVID high. And obviously, as we all know, the industry went a bit bonkers during COVID. The new build sector was on fire, as was the brokerage sector. But gravity is affecting the market and the numbers are falling. Total combined meters under construction has dropped 1.2%, and the total gross tonnage under production has dropped just 0.5%. Lots of people see that as the true measure of activity in the industry. So a 0.5% decline is negligible. So we're hoping it's going to be a softer landing. Obviously, the order book had to decline. It couldn't keep accelerating at the pace it was. But we hope and expect that the decline is a steady and slow one. The big news in terms of builder nations is that Turkey has had just an absolutely stunning performance over the last couple of years. The country's order book has expanded 40% over last year. It's building 132 superyachts currently, totaling 5,838 meters of production. It now sits second in the leaderboard, displacing the Netherlands as the most active country for superyacht production. And just as a quick comparison, in 2015, Turkey was building 68 yachts. So its order book has doubled since then. Italy, as you'd expect, sits in first place. It accounts for 51.4% of global superyacht production, which is just incredible. Italy, the perennial leader in the list of top builder nations. And one of its shipyards, Azimut Benetti, is the top builder. That company is building just over 6,000 meters of superyachts, totaling 167 projects with an average length of 36 meters. In second place is San Lorenzo, another Italian yard, and they're building 4,500 meters of superyachts, 132 projects with an average length of 34 meters.
Yes, and we think that third would be another Italian yard, which is Ferretti Group, but they don't share the numbers with us, so we can't be sure. Is that right?
They don't share their order book, but we do have some fairly conclusive intelligence around their order book. So we can't, they obviously, their totals contribute to Italy's grand total. So we've got a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty good idea. So we recorded a slight drop in the number of active shipyards around the world this year, down from 189 to 177. This is accounted for by a lot of yards which had just one superyacht in build. That superyacht has since been delivered, so those yards haven't been filled up again. But a more detailed look reveals 59 shipyards around the world building just one project, 78 building three or more superyachts, 45 shipyards are building five or more superyachts, and 27 are building 10 or more. Excitingly, Katia, two big growth areas in terms of types of superyachts under construction. One of my favorite talking points.
Explorers and catamarans. Let's say it together, Caroline. Explorers and catamarans.
Oh, improved right super once again.
Clearly lots of people with excellent taste out there, because there's lots and lots more catamarans being built. So, well, let's start with explorers. And these are the two really big exploding sectors of the market. So there are 99 explorers in build currently, up from 88 last year. A new record. Explorers account for 8.5% of the global order book, which is their biggest ever share of the order book, which is very, very exciting.
It just seems people want to do more with their super yachts nowadays, don't they? They're not as content sitting in anchorages and going to the beach clubs they've seen 1,000 times before. They actually want to get out there and see more things.
And who can blame them? So catamarans, this is what it's all about, really.
It is,
so
yeah.
There are a record number of large catamarans in build, 72 in total, up from 49 in the last global order book.
Who's contributing most of that growth?
Well, Sunreef. Sunreef is driving a lot of the growth. Its new 88 Ultima series has already proven a huge success. So 10 orders have been taken for that boat before the delivery of the first hull. Actually, the first hull was bought by a guy called Tim Chiasulli, who is fairly well known on the superyacht circuit. He also bought hull one of the Bonetti Oasis 40-meter series. I was actually with Tim last week in New York. He came to a dinner we hosted. He's a great character. He was very excited about his 88 Ultima.
Stuart loves a humble brag, doesn't he, Karen?
Yeah, he really does.
The number of sailing boats is in build is pretty steady. So there are 71 in build over 24 meters around the world. One little sector that's taken a hit is sport fishers. The number in build has dropped from 34 to 25. And when you look at the size categories, it's pretty interesting. Some things we can pull out. So very large yachts, those of 100 meters or more, remain very popular. There are 24 in build around the world. There had been some forecasting that this market would decline, but it hasn't. The sector's doing very, very well. Buyers from the US, Europe, and Middle East driving it largely. And semi-custom yachts continue to absolutely dominate the order book. Katia, what proportion of the order book is taken up by semi-custom yachts?
Well, I was looking at this data recently, so I'm cheating slightly, but I think it's around 80, isn't it?
It is. Well, just a touch under. So 79.8% of all superyachts in build now are from semi-custom series. And we do an analysis each year at the Superyacht Design Festival. And we've looked back over the last kind of 20 years of superyacht production, and you've come to see semi-custom just absolutely dominate the order book from a lower percentage than fully custom. Fully custom is now the minority share, obviously, and semi-custom is now the boss. Why? People just want their boats quicker?
Yeah. But it kind of flies in the face of what you just said about how there's, you know, so many 100-meter plus yachts. Like, how can both be true?
That's a whole different podcast.
Right.
But it is true. They are both true. Well, there's so few 100-meter plus boats that don't actually affect the overall makeup of the order book that much. But watching particularly the middle market, kind of between 40 and 60 meters, become dominated by semi-custom boats as well, has been fascinating over the last decade or so. Because people want, obviously shipyards like semi-custom production because economies of scale, and you invest in one hull instead of investing in lots of different fully custom hulls. Naval architecture engineering setups are common, obviously, so they're more affordable for buyers, they're quicker to build, and you can start them on spec quite often.
And also everything's proven, so if somebody's built, you know, three or four similar boats in the past, probably everything's in, you know, been tested a bit, so you know you're going to get something that works properly.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And for the first time this year, we also asked the guys to dig down into engine types, because I wanted to know what the take up of hybrid or greener propulsion technology was. So for the first time, we've published some figures around that. And I can tell you that of the 1,166 superyachts in build around the world currently, fully 1,081 are being built with straight normal diesel setups. Only 41 are hybrid, 34 are diesel electric, and just 10 are fully electric. So a tiny share of the overall order book are being built with hybrid, diesel electric, or fully electric engine setups. But what those figures don't show is the big push to use more sustainable fuels like HVO or hydro-treated vegetable oil, which is very much the fuel of the moment for many in the superyacht community, because it can dramatically reduce carbon dioxide emissions, particulate emissions, and also nitrogen oxide emissions. The 84.2-meter Fedship Obsidian, which was delivered this year, was left the shipyard with a tank full of HVO. And Azimut has also announced that it will be doing a lot of its sea trials and deliveries of new models using HVO. And we actually do a massive deep dive into HVO in the February issue of the magazine. So if you're interested in ways you can dramatically cut your emissions, you do pay a slight premium for HVO. And availability is an issue, but you know, you don't need to, it can be mixed with regular diesel. You don't need to alter your engine setup dramatically. It's super, super easy to adopt if you can get hold of it. And there's some super yachts and very popular charter boats trialing it at the moment, but it does look like it's a great stepping stone to a much, much greener future for super yachting, which is fantastic. And like I said, if you want to read the full Global Order Book report for yourself, head over to Boat Pro right now. Sign up and get involved.
So back to the January issue, as well as the Global Order Book, we're going to be running our Top 101 feature, which is much looked forward to every year. That is our list of the top 101 biggest yachts in the world, including a brilliant piece on the new entries to the list with loads of exclusive information. So on that subject, what does everyone think was the biggest yacht to be delivered in 2023?
So my first guess was Luminance, but I now see from the script that I was wrong.
Okay.
Why don't you tell me, Caroline?
I was just going to say it would be a Lursen.
Okay, well, that's kind of a cop-out, really, isn't it, Stu?
Yeah, total cop-out.
So Opera is 146.35 meters, and those little centimeters matter when it comes to the top 101, because sometimes the boats are only separated by tiny measures. She's now the ninth largest yacht in the world in terms of length, but number eight in terms of volume. She's a staggering 12,518 GT. So she was designed inside and out by Terry Disdale, who's more commonly known as an interior designer with his kind of famous beach house style. He's a great friend of Stu's. Pictures were taken during a maiden voyage from Bremen to Portsmouth last summer, showing lots of floor-to-ceiling glass across six guest decks, as well as two helicopter landing spots and a beach club whose twin staircases must climb two decks to reach a 10-metre stone-lined pool on the aft main deck. That pool floor rises to form a dance floor, and Lursen has kept the project shrouded in secrecy, but some sources claim that the yacht has 24 cabins for 48 guests and a crew capacity of around 70. Stu, do you have any intel from Terry on the boat, or are you not allowed to talk about it?
I missed, unfortunately, Terry's great Christmas party this year. He has this great, Terry and Daniela put on a great party at the in Richmond. But
more humble bragging, Stu.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't make it this year because
too busy.
I was flying back from New York, so I couldn't make it. So I missed my opportunity to investigate.
Okay,
get a few drinks in Terry and ask her for all their secrets. So I couldn't do it this year.
Okay, well, luckily for you, Stu, we do have other sources tapping into Disdale, and he's confirmed that interiors include a cinema and a huge spa with a wellness centre and various other things that we can't talk about publicly. He's also mentioned an upper deck lounge with a 110-inch TV and bay window. Sounds delightful.
Yes, that's a lot to pack into a boat, but I'm not surprised at all considering how high volume she is. So, as I said, my first guess was Luminance, which is 138.8 metres, which is not that much shorter than Opera, but no, she is only 8,999 GT, which just goes to show how high volume Opera is. I think you said Opera was 12,000 and something?
Yep, 12,518. So, yeah, wow, that is a massive difference, isn't it?
And then we had some other big deliveries this year, which didn't crack the, didn't crack the top 25, but they were 127-metre Coru, that is Jeff Bezos's yacht, 118-metre Lever O, which is the new Aberking flagship, and 111-metre Renaissance, which is the largest yacht to be built in Spain.
Which is currently a big story on the website currently, isn't there?
There is, yes. If you want to take a look at her interiors, you can head over to boatinternational.com.
Yeah, it's great. Great to see, because often you don't see boats that big. You don't get interior images released. Well, it's, you know, we work every angle we can to get interior images. So it was great to see some on the website. It was fantastic. So I had a good look around Renaissance. I was chatting to Dickie yesterday, actually. Dickie Bannenberg from Bannenberg & Rowell, of course. And they design the interior and exterior. So Dickie will be coming to the, here's a plug for the Superyacht Design Festival, how's an accidental segue. So the Superyacht Design Festival is happening in late January 2024. Dickie will be the very last session of the second day before we all go skiing for the Lursen ski race. So he's going to be talking about his life and career and what it was like growing up the son of the legendary John Bannenberg, how it's informed his own work. He'll be talking a bit about Renaissance too, I hope. So yeah, tickets available now.
That was an accidental plug for the Superyacht Design Festival and for Stuart's list of contacts.
Yeah, it's true.
Drink every time he humbles a heck.
It's a new drinking game.
Sorry, I'll try and stop now. But yeah, I can't wait to talk to Dickie on stage. He's the most personable. He's such a lovely, chatty, personable bloke. Just an absolute pleasure to spend time with. So I think that'll be a really fun session. I'm looking forward to it. We thought we'd also have a look at the 10 most travelled yachts in 2023. We've got the top 10 here. And the winner by a couple of thousand nautical miles is the support vessel Gene Chaser, which is, I think, probably must be the first time a support boat has topped that list of most travelled yachts. We'd have to look back in the archive to check that. But congratulations to Gene Chaser for being the most travelled super yacht in 2023. She did 36,549 nautical miles, well, to date, and the year's not over, so she's probably going to, you know, stick a few more on that total before 2023 concludes.
But I guess that sort of speaks to the kind of traveling that the mothership Gene Machine has been doing. So Gene Chase has done nearly 7,000 nautical miles more than Gene Machine, and I guess that she's doing everything the mothership's doing, but also doing recce on destinations, fetching and carrying toys, all sorts of kind of legwork that the mothership isn't doing. I've also heard that the owner really loves actually spending time on Gene Chaser. So perhaps she's ferrying him around a little bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the owner is famously Jonathan Rothberg. He's been interviewed in Boat International a few times now. Really, really fascinating guy. So yeah, he pushes his boats hard, doesn't he? And the crew are great. The crew are very, always quite active on social media, putting out some great content as well. So just on Gene Chaser, we should mention actually, she's a 55-meter support vessel built by Darman Yachting. Since June alone, the yacht has basically traversed the globe. She was in Japan in June, then went down to the Philippines and Indonesia. She spent some time in Thailand in August, then crossed the Indian Ocean, went up through the Red Sea and Suez Canal in September. She then crossed the Med, popping out into the Atlantic in September. She was in Florida in November and then headed south down the coast of Brazil. And she is now in Tierra del Fuego at the southernmost tip of Argentina. So from Japan to Tierra del Fuego via the Indian Ocean, Red Sea, Med and Atlantic. That is one hell of a 6 months that boat has had.
Yeah, what a passage to be on.
Yeah.
Nice to see Australia, which is a 2012 Benetti, also clocking up some impressive mileage. She's done over 27,000 nautical miles this year, cruising a lot in her namesake cruising grounds of Australia. And if you look at her on Boat Pro, you can see she's really exploring all those little nooks and crannies on the eastern coast. And then it looks like she's also spent some time in Singapore and the Maldives on that side of the hemisphere. Then she crossed the Med, spent a lot of time in the Med, again, going up through the Suez. and then went up as far as Norway and Denmark. So Benetti's, not just good-looking Italian yachts, also veritable explorers as well.
The yeah, I mean, anything can be an explorer, really. It doesn't have to have kind of bolt upright wheelhouse or, you know, ice-classed hull. It's a state of mind.
Sure. Capture. Okay. Right. Pearls of wisdom from Stuart. Yeah. I'll try and take a little 24-meter motor up exploring, shall I?
Yeah.
See how the explorer state of mind serves me in those high swells.
You can write the story.
Right.
So Gene Chaser was number one. Hansa Explorer, that well-known 48-meter explorer yacht built by Fasma, was the second most travelled yacht in 2023. So she is currently in Antarctica. If you look at her on Boat Pro, obviously Boat Pro has an AIS function, so it's fascinating just stalking all these boats. And she is, it's great to see her in Antarctica. And she's gone pole to pole this year, Hansa Explorer. She spent the summer scouring Svalbard. I mean, she went into almost every anchorage around the Svalbard archipelago. If you look at her track on Boat Pro, it's quite incredible. And then she started her journey south in August and went basically due south straight to, or due south and left a bit to Antarctica, or right a bit if you're heading south that way. Yeah, right a bit.
Exploring is a state of mind.
Yeah, it's a state of mind. So Hansa Explorer in there at number two. Sea Cloud, the massive sailing yacht, is third. Gene Machine was in fourth. Tekla, which is a 36-meter sailing yacht, was in fifth. Australia, as Katja mentioned, in sixth. Arctic Sunrise in seventh. Wanderlust in eighth. Obviously, Wanderlust, the new delivery from Silver Yachts. Bliss, the 95-meter Fed ship, was ninth. And Sherpa, another Fed ship at 73 meters, was in 10th place. So great to see some massive miles being racked up by some amazing super yachts. But congrats again to Gene Chaser on their amazing 2023. Now, Katya, over to you for this bit, because I thought we'd be interesting to look through some of the stories that made the biggest impact this year on the website and elsewhere. And this is very much your wheelhouse as the new digital editor of Boat International. So why don't you talk us through the five most impactful news stories of 2023?
Thank you, Stuart. I would be honoured. So we saw a couple of trends in the news this year, mostly in the fields of sustainability. And then we also had a few really big ticket brokerage sales that made the headlines this year. But I'll start off with Project Cosmos. That is the fuel cell power superyacht, the first fuel cell power superyacht. So German shipyard Lürssen marked a significant milestone in the path towards more sustainable yachting with the launch of 114-meter Project Cosmos. So once complete, the yacht will be able to create electricity to power its propulsion through a chemical reaction as opposed to combustion. And she's built for a Japanese owner who's actually very open about the boat. He talks about it on Instagram sometimes. So very excited to see that on the water one day soon.
Yeah, I mean, these are kind of glass ceiling projects, aren't they? So once this is really understood, this project, the technology and innovation involved in its power plant, you just hope with all these technologies it doesn't come as a massive price premium. It usually does for these early adopters, but you know, costs always seem to rationalize. So it'd be great if 10 years down the track, the technology used on Cosmos is common throughout the entire superyacht industry. So congratulations and to the owner of that boat. It's amazing to see such innovation being developed and to Lürssen too.
Yeah, absolutely. Another Lürssen next on the list. This is about Arpo.
I'm just going to cut in here. This is Katja's third attempt to read this news story.
She does
get it right this time. We're withdrawing the promotion. Half a glass of champagne, honestly.
You can't do that. I think you've had too much champagne.
Take four.
Okay, yeah. So Arpo became one of the biggest brokerage deals in history this year. She changed hands just 3 months after coming onto the market with Moran Yacht and Ship representing both parties in the deal. She was delivered in 2021 and she was asking $330 million at the time of her sale and was supremely private when she launched. There you go.
Wow. And that's
it. Perfect. Perfect. Nailed it.
Katia's clearly very good under pressure. That's a good thing to know for future.
Just threaten me in the future.
Yeah.
Fine, I'll get there.
What else you got for us?
So Jeff Bezos, we think he took delivery of two yachts this year. Obviously, it was never confirmed by either Ocean Co or Diamond Yachting. But the 125.9-meter Koru, which is a word meaning new life, growth and peace, she was delivered early in 2023 alongside a 75-meter support vessel called Abiona. So the Amazon founder has been seen enjoying time on the yacht over the summer, which is now the largest sailing yacht in the world, excluding Sailing Yacht A. And the minds behind her design are Lateral Naval Architects and Dijkstra. Only one pronunciation fumble so far in the podcast, which is actually a record, I think.
Pronunciation. This is all staying in, by the way.
Wow, the gloves are off, Stuart. They are behind the naval architecture and her quite old school look. I think everyone was quite surprised to see Koru finished because she was very old-fashioned looking.
I think I saw a story that Lauren Sanchez denied that the bowsprit maiden was modelled after her.
I saw that too.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so for those who haven't seen the boat, there's this figurehead on the bowsprit, just under the bowsprit, rather, of Koru, and it looked very much like it might have been modelled on Lauren Sanchez, but apparently not true.
Yes. And then another kind of sustainability-focused story, which Stuart already touched on, which is about Lamouche and Obsidian. So they are both pioneering the use of biofuel. Lamouche obviously had a very high-profile experiment that saw the yacht take delivery of 15,000 litres of HVO. And then she used it in one engine for a little bit to see how it worked. And then they switched the second engine over after the first trial. And then, yeah, as Stuart said, the Fedship Obsidian was also using biofuel in her generators, marking the first new yacht to trial the alternative fuel source.
Yeah, Lamouche, really early adopters of HVO. This is the hydrotreated vegetable oil, used chip fat, basically. And the captain is interviewed in the piece that's in the February issue. And he said it had been a fantastic experiment, and I think they'll continue using it. So there is a slight price premium on HVO, but he said it translated only to about 350, I think, euros to the APA applied to a week's charter. So not very much added onto the bills at all for the charter guests of Lamouche. And Obsidian, a very forward-looking, green-focused yacht. Her owner was adamant that it be as green as possible. And so that's why they filled up with HVO. Beautiful boat, Obsidian.
Yeah,
really beautiful boat. Yeah. One of the best lookers, I think, delivered this year, if not the. Love it.
Yeah, I actually met him, the captain, Jean-Maxime Bertet, at a seminar in Antibes last year, and we talked about HVO. I actually saw a presentation of it in action, and he was telling me that, as well as the obvious eco benefits, it's actually much more comfortable for guests because there's no smell and it also doesn't produce like a dirty black smoke. So if you're trying to enjoy time on deck, you're not really noticing the fumes as much as you would with traditional diesel.
I mean, it's reading the story, it's almost too good to be true. You kind of think, how is it possible that it could be the odorless, smokeless diesel alternative that cuts carbon dioxide emissions by 90%, particulate emissions and NOx emissions? I mean, it is an amazing development. So I hope the supply infrastructure is ramped up very, very quickly. Ed Beckett, a partner at Burgess, actually made the point that it's a bit chicken and egg in the story because we just need more. We know more boats adopting it, but it's hard to do that because the supply infrastructure is not there. So there's a slight imbalance between demand and supply. But hopefully that will rationalize very, very soon and we'll start seeing HVO being available in major ports all over the place.
Maybe we just need to eat more chips.
I can help in that endeavor. 100%. 100%. What's the next most impactful story?
So the final story I wanted to touch on was about Amadea. She was arrested last year. This is the 106 meter. And it was interesting because a few years ago, we saw some yachts being arrested as a result of the Russian sanctions. And now this year, we're seeing a few more of the results of it, basically. So the US Justice Department is seeking to take ownership of the yacht. They filed a civil forfeiture complaint that would, if approved, allow the yacht's ownership to be transferred to the US authorities. So as I said, it came after the yacht was arrested in Fiji and then she moved to the US territory. But she is one of the few yachts, I think, that's been arrested and there's authorities actually moving to take that ownership and transfer it to them.
So that is the story of Amadea. So they're the five most impactful, most engaged with, and most read news stories on the Boat International website this year. We also thought it'd be fun to look at the five yacht reports that got the most action online this year. It's quite interesting, actually, the results of this, because they're not all the most obvious ones.
No, they're not. It's interesting.
You kind of expect just the biggest boats to be the most read stories, but it's not often the case. So the most read yacht report on the website this year was actually Marala, the 59-meter rebuild by Pendennis. So we did a great story about her. I think that was in the
March issue.
March issue. There you go. So actually, that story's been on the website for quite a long time, generating quite a lot of interest. But absolutely stunning yacht. Yeah, a couple of years she spent in rebuild, started in Malta and then moved to Falmouth. And Pendennis did a spectacular job for her owner. And so I actually had a look around Marala before she left Pendennis. And it was, you know, her interiors weren't quite finished, but you could already tell the standard of finish was very, very high. And it's an Art Deco wonderland on that boat. Really, you know, a snapshot from the 1920s. Just a beautiful, beautiful boat and serving her owner very, very well. And she picked up Neptune for best rebuild at the 2023 World Superyacht Awards. Caroline, what's the next? What was the next most read story on the website this year? Most read yacht report.
Yes, so the next most read yacht report was the Saab yacht, Edge. So Saab yachts remained relatively under the radar since their first boat in 2016. So when a roaring red pocket superyacht raced out of their yard in 2022, all eyes were on the 26-meter Edge. The daring design, both inside and out, proved popular with our readers.
So that just goes to show, doesn't it? It's not the biggest boats, but she is quite bright, no. Edge, isn't she?
Yeah.
But a 26-meter being the second most read yacht report on boatinternational.com is pretty amazing.
Yep. Yeah. The next boat is also a little bit, not small, but on the smaller side. It was the SP110 from San Lorenzo. So I think this naturally generated a lot of interest because it was obviously San Lorenzo's first entry into that sports boat market. And if you've seen the SP110, you'll know that she is incredible looking on the water, you know, very sporty, but then she's got that amazing split level design. And I think, you know, people were really curious to see what she looked like on the interior and how the design philosophy actually played out.
She was at the Cannes Yacht Show 2022, wasn't she?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's pretty remarkable when you walk onto her aft deck and you walk through the cockpit doors, you're confronted by a scene that is very, very unfamiliar to, you know, traditional yachting eyes like mine. You can walk down to a lower saloon and a corridor of cabins, or up in this split level atrium arrangement to an upper saloon. It's pretty remarkable design solution and clearly of great interest to the audience because, yeah, third most read yacht report on boatinternational.com this year. In fourth spot was N1 from Mangusta. Really sexy boat. There's no other word for it. She's a 50-meter, 165 rev model designed by Igor Lobanov. And just a beautiful-looking thing for me. Really sleek, very cool, low-down, sporty styling, real crowd-pleaser. And she's got a four-deck pool and just a really, really stunning silhouette. So talk about boats that look good on the water. I think N1 is definitely one.
Yeah, I really liked the owner's cabin. Did you see that?
Yeah, that again, that was split level, wasn't it? Because you kind of step down to the
that's right,
the cabin.
Yep.
That massive cabin, actually, for a boat that size.
Yeah, and a sports yacht as well.
And a sports yacht.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Igor Lobanov did a great job with that one. Fantastic looking thing. And what's bringing up the rear in fifth? Caroline.
So Athos, the Holland Yacht Bow Yacht.
I'm just going to cut in here and reference that. I mentioned that this is Caroline's thing. Attempt to say this story.
And she also she just teased me and Stuart for having too many budget bubbles.
It's true.
Instant karma, Caroline. It's
punishing me, exactly. So Athos, the Holland Yacht Bow, beautiful yacht, refitted at Royal Houseman, was our June issue cover star. And she won the refitted yachts category at the World Super Yacht Awards in 2023. She had 50 people working on her at any one time during the refit and was a real labour of love for her owner, who reshaped the schooner into his ideal yacht for his round the world adventure.
Excellently done, Caroline. Can I do another humble brag?
Oh, God. I don't have enough champagne left to drink with.
I was very, very lucky to sail on Athos during the bucket earlier this year, and just an amazing machine. It was such a great day sailing. She got real hard over, water running through the gunnels. It was a fantastic day. Yeah, really good. That's my last one.
Humble brag. That might just be a brag. I'm not sure. Humble in it.
No, there was no humble there at all, was there?
No.
And that brings us, last but not least, to our data section, which, as ever, is brought to you by Boat Pro, the super yacht industry's leading and award-winning market intelligence service. Now, Raphael has done some digging into crew numbers in the low and high seasons, because we just thought it'd be really interesting to look at just how many professional crew, are out there working on the world's super yacht fleet. And by our estimate, it takes 94,201 crew to staff all super yachts over 24 meters currently on the water. That's a high season estimate, given boats obviously crew up for charter seasons. And it doesn't also count crew rotation. So onto that 94,201 positions, you can probably add, as a guesstimate, another 5,000 to 10,000 crew. So let's round it up to 100,000. So we reckon there are around 100,000 professional crew currently working on the world's super yacht fleet in high season. And we also calculated how many crew will be needed for all boats currently under construction. So as mentioned earlier, there are 1,166 super yachts in build globally. To staff all these boats will require, again in high season and not figuring in rotation, 11,890 crew. So with the increasing prevalence of rotation, I was actually talking to one owner the other day. He said he rotated every position on the boat, which is still unusual. Or usually it's obviously just the heads of department rotate. Some boats are going full rotation for all crew positions now. But anyway, for that, so 11,890, we reckon you can round it up to about 15,000 when you factor in rotation. So over the next few years, as those 1,166 super yachts are delivered, 15,000 new crew jobs will be generated. So it will grow, by that calculation, the crew market 15% over the next few years as all these boats hit the water. There can't be many industries where the workforce is expanding quite so rapidly. So if you're listening to this and thinking about giving super yacht crewing a go, I'd say jump in. There will be lots of opportunities coming up for some really wonderful crew jobs. And that, ladies and gents, concludes the very final boat briefing podcast of the year. Caroline, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Katya, thank you.
Thank you, Stuart.
Any final thoughts or comments? More champagne?
I wouldn't dare.
Well, it's not actually champagne, to be fair. It's some dodgy Prosecco from Morrison's.
No, I don't want anyone. I feel quite victimised on this podcast. And I'm sure the listeners will agree. Stuart threatened my job.
He did, yeah.
And yours, Caroline. We should go to HR together.
Was mine threatened? I missed mine being threatened.
I don't think so. I don't know.
It's mine then.
Okay. But you got it right, didn't you? It worked.
Did work, it's true.
And to all our listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in each week to the Boat Briefing podcast. I really hope you enjoy them. And you can always feed in comments, questions, concerns, complaints, Katya, to podcast@boatinternationalmedia.com. Let us know what we're getting right and what we're getting wrong. And as ever, this episode was mixed and produced by the wonderful team of Naomi Wilson and Adam Geist. Thank you very much for tuning in. I wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we will see you again in 2024.